Holy shit. Week four. Hopefully you got a seasonal fantasy team that still has a pulse, but this is going to be a wild week. If you haven't checked an injury report right now, I would say probably don't, because odds are half your team is on the fucking IR. So, wild times. So, a quick recap of week three. A lot of great calls, a lot of... I don't know if I had like a bad call, and I'm never one to like pump my own chest here, but not having Juwan Jennings. If you didn't have Juwan Jennings, you probably did not make a lot of money in the GPP space. And my GPP lineup looked so damn good early on. I just didn't have Juwan Jennings. I did have Jared Goff, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Jameson Williams. I don't know why. I mean, I just bit the value on Jameson Williams, and I regret that one, but I loved Gibbs. But frustrating, that game just completely stalled out in the second half. It was pacing nicely, good back and forth game. It is what it is. Week three bets here, let's go through those. We started off the week with the Jets -6.5. Nice. We talked about Tank Dell and the zone coverage there in a good spot for over 3.5 receptions at -120. That hit with flying colors, kind of in garbage time, I believe, without CJ Stroud. So I don't necessarily feel good about that one, but I also didn't handicap the Houston Texans just getting boat raced in that game. CJ Stroud over 22.5 completions was a loss. That was only a 0.57 unit risk, though, so we're okay with that. Honestly, guys, I think I mentioned it too on the pod last week. Anytime I bet unders, just don't bet it, except this Thursday we hit both of them. But if you don't have the sheet, just DM me on Twitter. All the bets are on there on a Google sheet that I share with everybody. Or if you're a member at Win Daily, I put it in the playbook. But Justin Jefferson under 76.5 yards. I stand by that play. I just didn't see that game going that way. I think he slightly got over it, but he got over it. That was a loser at 0.28 risk. Even myself, like I start to pull the thresholds in big time when I am betting unders, just because I have a bad rap with betting unders. I don't know why. The model seems to have an edge on them, and I historically just don't win many. Zamir White, anytime touchdown, was a loser at damn near a full unit risk. That's probably a horrible bet. I need to think about that next time. Like, there's no such thing as an absolute shoe-in, especially like with that situation with Zamir White and Alexander Mattison, but model had an edge. That lost. Rome Odunze over 35.5 yards. Over at Win Daily, we laddered that shit up to 70+. Absolute smash. That was 1.09 unit risk to win a unit. And then Kyle Juszczyk, I talked about that one on the pod, I think. -113 under 18.5 yards receiving. That cleared easily. Week four bets, we got Dak Prescott under 264, that hit. Devin Singletary on short rest under 61.5, that hit, but I barely put anything on there, slightly over a quarter unit risk. Moving on to Sunday, we got Kirk Cousins over 213 passing yards on BetMGM -115. Got in early on this one, and now it seems like he's DFS chalk, which we'll touch on a little bit, but Tommy Tremble over 2.5 catches +140. On BetMGM, I believe that train has left the station. I would not chase that. I think it's like down to like -110. Do not touch that. I do have him for 3.05 catches to be exact. But again, that was just like a clear misprice, because I would have this closer to -110, 50 points of value on +140. That is why I got there. I also moved on Tommy Tremble over 19.5 receiving yards. I will try to pull that up right now. Let's see where that's at, because maybe that's a play. But otherwise, I mean, it looks like the whole DFS community is going to play this guy in cash games at least. Maybe you can just get exposure there. But let's pull up total receiving yards. I do have like a website that should price shop it for us. Tommy Tremble is at 20.5. -115 seems to be the consensus. 21.5 on Pinnacle, so 22 on DraftKings. Yeah, I don't know. I would not chase that one either. I took Roshan Johnson over 30.5 rush yards on FanDuel -113. I think that's still got to be in play. That's just coach speak saying that he is going to get a big run this week. I just think this offensive line sucks in general. Probably wouldn't chase that one. Yeah, 30.5 -113 is still there on FanDuel. So if you trust that, I wouldn't. Just because, again, we want to bet with like a mathematical edge. The model says it is, but that is also me kind of manually feeding an upgrade to Roshan Johnson carries this week. wouldn't mess with that. Nico Collins over 5.5 receptions on FanDuel minus 138. I have him for 7, so I hate to lay that much juice, but there's an edge there. George Pickens over 49.5 receiving yards. Bet MGM minus 115. Isaac Garendo, anytime touchdown. I do think this game gets out of hand for the Patriots, and we see Garendo. You know, Mason has so much work lately, and Garendo is getting better. His yards per carry looks solid. He's picking up pass blocking a little bit from the small sample size he does have. I do think if this game gets to that spread at, you know, double digits in favor of San Fran, that plus 550, I believe that's like a, what is that, like an 18% perceived edge of that implied value of that happening. Let's look that up real quick on my calculator. At plus 550 is 15% probability of scoring. I have met 20%, so a slight edge there, but at plus 550, that makes my edge a lot higher. So I will bet it 0.2 unit risk. Travis Kelce over 45.5 receiving yards at Fanatics minus 115. We'll talk about that one. Patrick Mahomes over 1.5 passing touchdowns plus 105 on BetMGM. I don't think that would stay long, but I also would not hammer it. And then Amari Cooper over 50.5 receiving yards, Fanatics minus 105. Let's get into cash games. Absolutely smashed last week, even though it wasn't that good of a lineup. I was in a absolute blender before lock on where ownership was going to be. I thought that, you know, it actually came true here looking at the cards flipped over. Alvin Kamara was 60% owned in most of my cash game things, so I did flip to him, played Cam Akers. Alvin Kamara didn't do much, Cam Akers didn't do much, but I just kind of rode the ownership, but it really fucked me on quarterback. I'm glad it did because I was on Kyler Murray, and I do believe I changed the playbook Sunday morning, notified everybody on WinDaily. I was changing it. I got rid of quarterback. Was a written up position for me there, and I ended up just at the last minute going to Caleb Williams. My model loved him. We talked about him last week. That was awesome. He was like 1% owned in cash. Played Brandon Ayuk, Devonta Smith. Deontay Johnson was a game changer for us. 7% owned. I do not understand why no one played him last week at that price. Now everybody's playing him $1,000 more. That's pretty funny. Brock Bowers laid an egg. Jordan Mason laid an egg. Bears defense. I played the quarterback in the Bears defense, but whatever. Pay line with flying colors, but enough of that. Let's get into week 4. Holy shit. Like I said when I started, let's go with injuries. I'm sure I'm missing plenty. Bengals, Sheldon Rankins out. DT there, big defensive tackle, big good run stopper. Trent Brown, offensive line out. BJ Hill out on the defensive side of things. Jordan Love for the Packers likely to play. Vikings, Jonathan Bullard, I believe, is highly questionable. One of their best run stoppers there. Ivan Pace, one of the linebackers, who's honestly, he's awesome and he's fast. He is out. Jordan Addison likely back. Texans, Tank Dell is likely out. Jimmy Ward is highly questionable. Their safety there, that's going to be interesting. Damian Pierce is out. Joe Mixon, questionable. We'll see what happens. Jaguars, doesn't look terrible, but obviously their team is pretty bad. Evan Ingram is out. Steelers, linebacker Alex Highsmith is likely out. Jalen Warren is out. Pretty clean other than that, like the Steelers' D. Kenny Moore is out for the Colts. We talked about him. He's like the only heartbeat on that secondary in Indy. Ryan Kelly, I believe, is highly questionable, and Kwity Paye is out. Saints, Chris Olave got hurt today, so we'll see what happens. Sounds like a hamstring. I was very interested in Chris Olave going into the week. I'm just going to be 100% out. I don't really mess with hamstrings. Demario Davis, linebacker, out. And then a really good run blocker, Cesar Ruiz, out. So, honestly, I think the Falcons' defense is in play. Raiders, I don't know who is playing. Michael Mayer's out. Devontae Adams out. Mason Crosby out. I'm sure there's more. I'm one of their pass rushers, I think. Yeah, Divine Diablo out. Browns, Jack Conklin, doubtful. That hurts. Pierre Strong, doubtful. And David Njoku, maybe back. That could help some of your fantasy-long teams, or season-long teams. I know a lot of people like David Njoku this year. Eagles, Devonta Smith out, Lane Johnson and A.J. Brown questionable. Chargers, Joey Bosa out, Derwin James suspended for all the bad hits that he does in his career. Joe Alt, highly questionable. Jazeer Taylor, cornerback, highly questionable. Justin Herbert, somehow is questionable still with this high ankle sprain. That will be very interesting, but let's get into the actual games themselves. First game, I mean, I think we're going to fly through this, and I'm sorry this is so late, but I just had to wait for injuries, and it was very hard to project these games and push them to our members over at WinDaily Sports. Use promo code STIX if you want to sign up for 50% off, but I can't push projections out until we actually have a relatively clear path on where the injuries are going. So the first game is going to be the New Orleans Saints at the Atlanta Falcons. We have an opening total of 41.5. Atlanta laying 2.5. That is now laying 3 and 41. 41.5 on the total, depending on where you look. In terms of ownership, I don't think there will be much on this game. Kirk Cousins, 1% owned. Derek Carr, 1% owned. If you want to play that, go ahead. I just don't think this game has a ton of back and forth, given the low total as well. Bijan Robinson, someone I'm very interested in. He graded insanely well for me in the 80 mile. Everybody does think the Saints defense is, you know, very stout, I guess, if you want to say that. But I don't know. I've even said it coming into the season. I don't think they're that good. As they continue to get banged up, I think this is a team you could run and pass on, and they should be able to get in shootouts because we know that offense is lethal. Alvin Kamara, it sounds like he is going to be good to go. I'm seeing 10% ownership, but they're both very expensive. I would 100% lean to Bijan Robinson if you want to get different and pay up at running back this week, because I do not think Bijan will be 15% owned. There's just no way, especially with all these injuries. On the receiver side of things, Chris Olave, 6,500. Like I said, not pre-show, but in the intro, was very interested in him going into the week. Probably not anymore, and his ownership says 11. There's no way. I'm okay with Drake London at 6,200. You could do worse. Looking at the defenses, we will see, you know, Jimmy Lake at Atlanta is going to run a ton of cover three. That's why I really like Chris Olave. Same reason as last week, like talking about how he does against zone defense, especially cover three. He finds the open spot. He had a great game last week, and that was one of our core plays, so I love that. But it would be a boost to him and Alvin Kamara, potentially the tight ends, but the tight end situation, there's a mess. Apparently, Juwan Johnson is just not the guy. I do think this is more of a baseline projection for Rashid Shaheed. He was 25% owned in single-entry GPPs last week. That was the easiest fade in the world. Sure, it could have blown up. I know the deep ball was there, and it's kind of in his hands, maybe a little underthrown, but the recency bias in DFS is unbelievable. Even in high stakes, that people played that much Rashid Shaheed blows my mind. It's because it's a high total. It's going to probably happen this week with Arizona, Washington, and people probably chase the Terry McLaurin points, and Terry McLaurin's a stud. Like Rashid Shaheed and Terry McLaurin, comparing apples to oranges, but it's just wild, just the mindset of DFS players. And, you know, usually I do not fall into the trap of recency bias. Maybe on one player we'll talk about soon, but yeah, that's pretty wild, but I do think Shaheed bounces back. So if you got him in season long, don't just start him, you know, sit him because of the zero, especially with all the injuries. You probably need him, but that is what Rashid Shaheed is. Sorry, I can't talk. I've been on my computer for 14 hours today, which has been a nightmare. On the Saints side of the defense, they're going to run a good bit of man coverage, mid-tier blitz rate. I think this is just a big, you know, boost to Drake London. His target share versus man coverage should go up a lot, apparently adjusted expected total yards model that we have at Win Daily Sports. And then Pitts, I the only thing with Pitts, like, I think his ownership is going to be nothing. Let's check that out. 1% Kyle Pitts, that is a very good GPP play this week. I don't think he gets there with volume, especially when this game's probably going to be a little bit slower now with all the injuries that are happening and, you know, potentially Chris Olave being out. But Kyle Pitts' longest reception, if it's in like the 16-yard range, I think I have him pegged for like 18.5 yards on his longest reception. So I don't know where it's at. Fuck it. Let's just look it up. Why not? There's no producers, no ad reads we got to do. So if I'm just going to piss away time to figure out what this prop is, we'll do it because it's my show. And if you guys don't like it, just let me know and I won't do it next time. But let's see. Longest reception. Kyle Pitts, 16.5. So I don't know if you want to mess with something where we only have like a 2-yard edge minus the juice. So, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying. But, yeah, great GPP play there. I like the Falcons defense, especially with how banged up New Orleans is. But that offense can move. So not like a must play or anything like that. They're just cheap. They're $2,600 on DraftKings. If you are a first-time listener, first, thank you so much. If you're a multiple-time listener, thank you even more for the support. I can't say that enough. I should have said that in the intro. But this is a DraftKings main slate only show. If you've got FanDuel questions or anything, hit me up on Twitter at StixPicks. That is StixPicks. Moving on to the next game, Cincinnati, Carolina. We have an opening total of 46.5. This game has been bet up to 47, 47.5 at some books. Cincinnati was laying 4.5. It looks like they still are. Love Joe Burrow. Andy Dalton, I'm just not an Andy Dalton guy, and we talked about that. I thought he would be chalk last week. If you played him with Deontay Johnson as a value stack. I think we even said it. I think I did one lineup with that, but again, I did not play any Juwan Jennings, which is complete oversight by me. Even looking at the model, he was, I think, the second highest value on the board. Again, I just kind of like set my lineups on like Friday and kind of commit to them, and that's a flaw that I have. So if, you know, move with the news. I wouldn't say like always tinker your lineups, but if there's something obvious, like I'm not going to say Juwan Jennings was obvious. No one would ever project him for two touchdowns, let alone three. He was just a really good value, and I needed that. My value guy was Jalen McMillan. If you watched the Win Daily live stream, I could have easily just got $300 more paid down on defense to play Juwan Jennings. And looking at team totals, the San Fran 49ers last week, their team totals through the roof. You want to get exposures to teams with high team totals. It's hard to really pinpoint where that projection will come from. That's what I'm here for, to hopefully help. But so stupid to go to Jalen McMillan, a guy with like a 7% target share. I just really like the coverage, knowing that Surtain would slow down Mike Evans, and he sure as shit did. But Jalen McMillan just is not a priority in that offense. Kate Otten got the bump up of all things. Joe Burrow's right around 10% ownership. I love how I just completely changed subjects, but yeah. Going to the running back, Zach Moss, 5,900, great spot. Chuba Hubbard, 5,700, in a very good spot, too. It does sound like Trey Hendrickson will play on the Cincinnati side. We talked about Sheldon Rankins already. So, yeah, I think Trey's good to go. But I do like just Chuba Hubbard just because he's 5,700. He's going to catch a lot of passes on DraftKings. That is valuable. Looks like inside the 10 and inside the 5, they do prefer Miles Sanders there. So, on FanDuel, if Chuba Hubbard is chalk, I would probably get out of that and go to like someone like Zach Moss, assuming they're priced very similarly. Jamar Chase, 7,700, probably one of my favorite wide receivers on the slate. Let's get into this coverage real quick. For Carolina, they're going to continue to play a ton of cover three and blitz a lot. We talked about Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase. When it is a blitz, that is big boost for the X wide receiver, which is him. I also think T should get another, you know, bump up here, and I finally start to get back to what the T. Higgins that we're used to and get a lot of RB checkdowns. I don't know why Chase Brown doesn't play more, but Zach Moss has been solid. He's a good pass blocker, so I don't know, but I do think Chase Brown is in a like Millie Maker type of spot here. I wouldn't prioritize him by any means, but against that cover three, when they're not blitzing, Mike Gesicki should be a good spot here, but I don't know. Eric All is getting snaps now too, so I don't get why they don't love Gesicki. Just put him in the slot, even though Yosha Voss is pretty good too, but yeah, no, Jamar Chase is clearly my priority play here. He is 10% owned. He's going to be a core play, I think, for me in all aspects of DFS this week. Deontay Johnson, 5,600, 30% ownership I'm seeing. Honestly, I would 10 out of 10 or 9.9 times out of 10 tell you to lock him in cash. I'm not going to fucking do it. I don't think I'm playing him in cash, but if you want to know where the landmine is for most people, if he goes off and you don't have him, it's going to be Deontay Johnson. He's going to be very highly owned. So think about it. Xavier Legette, 4,800 with no Adam Thielen. I'm interested in it. I don't think I'm in love as in love with it as like some pretty sharp DFS people, but this dude's a very good athlete. Has a lot of like Deebo Samuel into him, and I know he went to South Carolina, but maybe that's why they recruited him. They saw some Deebo in him. I don't know. Don't know the story, but not bad. Jonathan Mingo, 3,300. I think you could do worse, but this game should have a lot of back and forth. Both these defenses suck right now, so I have a lot of interest in this game. Maybe on the early only slate, I'll probably stack Joe Burrow with maybe Gesicki, I don't know, or T, but Jamar Chase is certainly going to be in there. Tight end, Tommy Tremble, 2,700. I'm seeing 20% ownership. He's probably going to be the cash. Like, can you play Deontay Johnson and Tommy Tremble in cash? No, you can't. So I'm just maybe playing Chuba in cash, or just fading the whole situation because there's just too much ownership in that game, and it's still the Carolina Panthers. Mike Gesicki, 3,500, 8% ownership. I'll take the under. No way that many people play him. Don't really need to talk about defenses either. That's something I'm not really going to prioritize. The Rams in Chicago, honestly, I don't know. No interest in Caleb Williams this week. Keenan Allen sounds like he's going to be back, so that's good. Should have mentioned that in the beginning, but I don't want to chase the points with Caleb. I loved that matchup against Indy. Talked about that, and it kind of all came to fruition. Matt Stafford, 0% owned. If you want to go back to Caleb, I'm not going to talk you out of it, but I don't like it. Kyren Williams, 7,300. Dude had like 30 touches last week. Great cash play. Seeing like 20% ownership. I think that's someone I'll try to get to, but not going to be a priority play for me in any way. 4,100 Roschon Johnson. I have him for damn near like 60 all-purpose yards. Let me tell you on the dot what we have him for. At Win Daily Sports, we got 10. That's like 55, but a decent implied probability to score a touchdown. I may just punt and play him in cash because it allows me to get a lot different and get high-tier wide receivers, which I want to do instead of paying down for, or I guess not even really paying down for Deontay Johnson. Wide receivers, DJ Moore, Keenan, like Rome. I don't think this is a great Rome spot, but the dude's really, really talented, and Caleb seems to like him a lot. But DJ Moore, 6,700, probably a week I'm off of him. I just don't want to pay that price, and I don't see the back and forth in this game. Tight end, don't chase the Cole Kmet points. Another guy we kind of put in the GPP space last week, but he is 0% owned. We did have a member, shout out to him, hit for $1,000 with a Bears double stack Cole Kmet. And actually, maybe it wasn't a Bears double stack. I think he went with me on Dallas Goedert on the Sunday show, and that was my tight end lock. Kind of got lucky there, but it was what it was. Like, you can play those high total games with a ton of ownership and play the guys that do have red zone equity and don't have ownership, and that was Dallas Goedert. He didn't score a touchdown, but he went nuts. So I regret nothing. And my main GPP lineup had, or second main, I guess, because the main one was with Jared Goff, but the other one that did smash still did not have Juwan Jennings. It was Caleb, Rome, and Dallas Goedert. Did not need a whole lot else to happen to make that lineup cash, but you needed Juwan Jennings to reach a ceiling. I like both defenses in that game. Minnesota going to Green Bay. We got Aaron Jones coming back, which will be fun. Packs defense with Mr. Jeff Hafley there, going to play a lot of zone, mainly cover three and not blitz a lot. This should be a really good spot again for Justin Jefferson. And honestly, I wish Hockenson was back, because this is where he kind of thrives here in this KOC system against cover three. But he's not back. So I said last week I would never say Johnny Munt's name again on a podcast, but I'm not going to go to Johnny Munt here. But it should be a, you know, hypothetical tick up in targets against cover three. I just don't think he's a part of that offense very much. Should be a great spot for Jordan Jefferson, Justin Jefferson. Jordan Addison is coming back, so he should be in a good spot based on the personnel. But honestly, Jalen Naylor's pretty good, so hard to handicap is kind of what I wrote outside of Justin Jefferson. And you could always play Aaron Jones going back to Green Bay. He's very active in the passing game, and I'm sure they're going to want to get him in the end zone at Green Bay. For the Packers or the Vikings, their defense, we know they play a ton of zone and blitz a shit ton. We talked about it every single time on this show. I have no idea how to handicap the Packers offense. Hand up, like, Reed would be my preferred option, I guess, against the zone. But I don't know, like, they mix and match so many wide receivers. Even like Bo Melton, I feel like he should get more snaps than he does. But it's like, you sit Christian Watson, can't really sit. You know, Romeo Doubs is kind of like their ex, and then Dontavian Wicks gets snaps too. They play two tight ends. I don't know. Not interested in playing this in DFS because I cannot tell you where the production is coming from. Running backs, probably no ownership. There's no ownership on the quarterbacks. Jordan Love not going there this week. Josh Jacobs, 6,600 for 5% ownership. I think it'll probably be lower than that. I'm definitely interested in that, but Minnesota's becoming more of a pass funnel. I really respect what Brian Flores does on the defensive side of things. He got so much speed into this defense, and I think that's probably why he was okay with letting Danielle Hunter go. And he's a stud. You saw him just wreck the Bears. But I don't know. I trust this defense, so I don't love Josh Jacobs, but a guy that's going to get probably 20 touches again, 6,600, not bad. Aaron Jones, 6,400, good price. Wide receivers, it's Jefferson or nobody for me. It looks like the field is choosing nobody, including Jefferson. So if you want to get really different, Jordan Jefferson could certainly have a ceiling game any time of the season. So go to that. Tight ends, not talking about it. Defenses are fine. Houston. What was the opening total in Green Bay? I'm sorry, guys. Let's go to that. Green Bay opening total is 43.5. It's sitting there, and the Packers are minus 2.5 or 3, depending on where you're looking. That sounds about right. Next game, Jacksonville Jaguars going into Houston, opened up at a 45.5 point total. It is pretty much sitting there, or 44.5 at some books. Houston is now laying 6. I don't see how Jacksonville stays in this game. They're going to have to pass and pass a lot. So if you want to tell yourself that story, maybe playing a 1% 5,700 Trevor Lawrence, who just looks absolutely lost this year. But they got to be playing for behind in this game. I can't imagine, with or without Joe Mixon, Houston struggling against Jacksonville's pass defense or lack thereof. CJ Stroud, 5% owned. Fantastic GPP play as well.
running backs, not going to pay up for Travis Etienne, but he is going to be very, very low owned. If you want to game stack this game and think that Jacksonville can keep it close in division game, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibilities. I don't hate it, but that is such an expensive price tag. Maybe that's like an early only type of guy, not messing with Houston's running backs with or without Joe Mixon. Nico Collins is probably the best play on the slate. Jacksonville plays a ton of man coverage. I do not know why they don't have the personnel to do it. I do worry we get help over the top on Nico Collins. This should be a great spot for him and Stephon Diggs. But with all the man coverage, a ton of cover one, and that's been Ryan Nielsen's thing with New Orleans and Atlanta. Like, that's what he's going to do. People don't change, I guess. And they do have a mid to upper, you know, blitz rate. So Nico Collins has like an expected target share of 37% against man coverage. He's just a beast, man. That's CJ Stroud's guy. So yeah, probably a priority play. He is locked for me in cash, and the field loves him too. He's going to be 25, 30, 40% owned, depending on what tournament you're playing. Love the upside on the comeback with Brian Thomas Jr. and also the volume that we should see with Christian Kirk. Trevor's just got to go to him. He doesn't have time to chuck the ball deep, even though that, you know, that benefits Brian Thomas Jr., but Christian Kirk is reliable. You saw against the Bills, he is still a good player. All of these guys on the Jacksonville side are sub 5%, so that is where I kind of lean in the direction of GPPs, maybe going that way. Houston's defense is going to run, you know, a little bit of man, but mainly a ton of zone, and they do run a lot of cover four and cover three. They cover four probably because they're leading a lot in these games. Even though last week they looked like shit, so again, great bounce back spot, buy low spot for CJ Stroud. Historically, it's been this type of coverage has been a great bump up for Evan Engram, but he is not in this week. So I don't know if you want to play Brenton Strange, you could. 3,100, not a bad price. Brian Thomas Jr. has really been their guy against zone, but I do think that this is where they go back to Christian Kirk a lot just based on last week's success. Again, we're kind of playing the recency bias. This was the guy I was talking about. I do think Christian Kirk is in another great spot, and they just have to. They're not going to have time to throw against that pass rush for Houston. It seems like they're all pretty healthy too. So yeah, I'm cool with all that. The tight end side of things, Dalton Schultz may be a sneaky play without Tank Dell. I don't know. Just seems like he's kind of getting phased out, but without Tank Dell, we'll see. Let's see where these target shares go. I do think this is a good spot for like his over on receptions. It is a pass funnel defense in Jacksonville. And then Brenton Strange, I'm seeing 1% ownership. I feel like people would go higher there, but if everybody's going to pay down to Tommy Trimble, then yeah, Brenton Strange as a bring back with Nico Collins or Stephon Diggs. Sure. Why not? And Houston's defense, obviously, always in play against Trevor Lawrence right now. Moving on to the next game. Probably going to start flying by a couple of these games. Pitt and Indy. I mean, play George Pickens. Play Najee Harris. No Jalen Warren. This game opened up at 40 and a half. It is sitting at 40. Pittsburgh laying two. I think Pittsburgh should be able to clean house here, but we'll see. You know, I thought the Bears would be able to cover, but they suck. At least Pitt's undefeated and plays amazing defense. I don't think I even have a whole lot to say about these defenses. Gus Bradley on Indy. Very low blitz rate, going to play a ton of cover three, mainly all zone. Versus cover three for Pitt, it's usually the slot and Pat Freiermuth. Versus cover two, that's where George Pickens, EX, should just tear it up. We should see some checkdowns. Najee Harris with not many people behind him, if any. I don't know who's even going to spell him. I should check that out. I know I projected it. And then should be a really good spot for Pat Freiermuth, but this game has such a low total. I don't know if Indy can score. So I was interested in Freiermuth, really interested in Pickens, obviously in love with Najee Harris without Jalen Warren there, but we'll see what happens. Looking at ownership, Justin Fields is way too cheap, 5,500, 10% ownership. I think he's a fine cash play if you don't want to play like the Kyler Jaden Daniels thing that everybody's doing this week. You can get crazy in GPPs and play Anthony Richardson, and honestly, you could probably play him naked running back with Najee Harris and George Pickens or Freiermuth if you want to. If you think this game could shoot out, I think it's got the skill players to do so, but the defense on Pittsburgh is just so good. I don't want to like go there as a first, second, or tertiary option. 7,700 for Jonathan Taylor. No ownership there. Again, it's Jonathan Taylor. You can go with it. Najee Harris, 5,600. Way too cheap with no one behind him. Was it Jonathan Ward probably is the next guy, I guess? So yeah, Najee Harris should get as much run as he wants. And you could run on Indy, even though the Bears couldn't. But, yeah, George Pickens, let's check the ownership there. That may be like a GPP darling. Same reason we love Roma Dunze and DJ Moore last week. George Pickens, 10% ownership. I'm cool with it. I think this is a great spot for him. Again, I just worry about the pace. No ownership anywhere else. Michael Pittman, 5,800. Like, eventually we're going to have to play this guy when the price gets that cheap. I don't hate this spot for Michael Pittman, actually. But, again, maybe like an early-only game stack to avoid all of the chalk coming in the afternoon, because even though there's no ownership on this game in the main slate, there probably won't be as well on the early-only slate besides Najee Harris. Maybe a little bit of George Pickens. Denver, the Jets. I don't want to talk about this game. You're not going to make me, are you? We know Patrick Surtain. I still like Garrett Wilson. Yeah, like, you're not sitting him, but you're probably not playing him in DFS. Breece Hall should fucking run down their throat. I'm seeing 18% ownership on Breece Hall, 7,700. My projections love him. Most projection systems out there do. Not worried about Braylon Allen. Breece Hall should fucking smash, and we're going to move on to the next game. Play the Jets defense if you want, but I do think Denver keeps it close. Like I said last week, that was a great bet too. Denver, we did take them in the points. I didn't talk about that in the intro to the show, but yeah, definitely mentioned that on last week's pod and played them in the Survivor. I'm sorry, the Circa betting contest. But yeah, that was a pick I felt good about. The model loved it, and easily, I didn't think they'd win, but I knew they'd keep it close. I think they keep this game a little bit closer than the books think, but I don't know. Breece Hall could just destroy them, so I'm gonna stay away. And where did that game open? I guess we should talk about that real quick. Opened up at 39.5, Jets -7.5, sitting there. No interest in that game besides Breece Hall. I mean, Alan Lazard, I guess, if you want to, I don't know. I think we're gonna see a lot more Mike Williams. Not interested in that game. We gotta commit to it. Can't play everybody. Philly at Tampa Bay opened up at 42.5, sitting there. No Devonta Smith. I don't think A.J. Brown plays, but if they can get him back, that'd be great. I think this game has more appeal if he does go. And Philly is laying one. So, I don't know. Maybe the books do think A.J. Brown's coming back, because I figured Tampa would be favored. Only, like, guys to watch. Like, I'm not really interested in Paris Campbell. Johnny Wilson's, like, 6'7". He was with Keon Coleman at Florida State. Those fuckers are huge. That was a fun receiving core to see. I don't think he moves very well. I don't think his hands are very good, but he is huge. He's got to be a red zone thing, but not really interested. Chris Godwin, 6,800 on the inside of Philly. We talked about it last week while we loved Chris Olave and how he gets shifted around. Chris Godwin pretty much just sits in the slot, which should be a great spot, but I'm not paying 6,800 for Chris Godwin this week, but he is a cash viable player. Moving on to the afternoon, not chasing Dallas Goedert, by the way. I just want that to be known. And not chasing Kate Otten. Here's the game that has all the ownership in the world. Opened up at 50.5 total. Cardinals laying 3.5. It is sitting now at like 49 pretty much everywhere. And Cardinals still laying 3.5. I guess I would lean the Commanders. But like I said on multiple shows ago, I don't really like to play the against the spread game too much. Unless my model thinks there's like a big edge on a game. And it doesn't have it here. It pretty much has a spread like right at 3, so no edge. Kyler Murray, Jaden Daniels, I can't say anything wrong about them. They're going to have a ton of ownership. Kyler Murray, as I stand today, is going to be my cash game quarterback, but Jaden Daniels would be number 2. Justin Fields, honestly, maybe number 3. But, yeah, you know what to do. This game has no defense on either side. Arizona does look better. They look solid against the run, too. So Brian Robinson, 20% owned, probably going to be a fade for me. Even without Austin Eckler, but with, I don't know. I'm interested to see, like, I don't want to say it's a fade, but I'm interested to see how Arizona handles, like, the QB spy situation. Does that open things up for Brian Robinson? On paper, it should, but I don't know. I'm probably not going to play a lot of Brian Robinson Jr., and he is going to be the guy that kills me if he does go off, but he's going to be 20% owned. I'm just okay going elsewhere. You know, like, guys like Chuba Hubbard, Najee Harris, like, they project about the same for me. And I don't like Jaden Daniels run so much. I just don't want goal line carries taken away from the running back that I roster, even though Chuba Hubbard may get goal line carries taken away to Miles Sanders. But we'll see. James Conner on the other side, 6,500. Great spot. Love him. I think he gets in the box twice this week. If you want to get not much different, he's like 12% owned, but relatively cheap exposure this game. James Conner would probably be my favorite guy to do so at the running back position. Talking about the coverage here. We got Arizona with Nick Rallis. They're not going to blitz much, not going to play much man. Pretty much all cover 3. That should be an advantage to Zach Ertz and Scary Terry. Zach Ertz is my cash game quarterback where we stand today. I doubt that changes Sunday. He runs a shit ton of routes. He's good against zone. He's not going to have a ceiling game, so I'm not really there in GPPs. I think that's a bad like game stack. Like, what do you want, 12, 14 points out of Zach Ertz? I don't think that'll move the bell from you where his ownership's at. Let's actually check tight end real quick where his ownership's at. I'm seeing 4%. Okay, maybe that changes. I may be interested in GPPs, but he's like the safest pay down for me in cash with the volume that he receives. So I think he's like a stone cold lock for 10 points here. And in cash, that's great. In tournaments, I don't see much more than 14, so I probably won't go there, even though the ownership is kind of telling me I want to. Marvin Harrison Jr., 7,500. That's awesome. I'm worried that they're eventually going to double him. Like, how long can Washington just get their fucking shit pumped through the air to number one wide receivers? Every single team's doing it. Neighbors did it. Obviously, Jamar Chase had a field day. I don't know. I don't know what, you know, Mike Evans scored twice on. Like, everybody's killing him. So, yeah, he's a great spot. And they play man defense. Like, Joe Witt, he's kind of the Dan Quinn disciple, too. Like, good bit of man, and they're blitzing a lot. They play a cover one and cover two. Marvin Harrison against cover one should just – I wrote good luck, Washington. So, yeah, Marvin Harrison, 7% owned. I think it's way higher than that, but, yeah, he's close to a priority play. I think I'm prioritizing Jamar Chase and Nico Collins over him, but if you want to choose Marvin Harrison Jr., by all means. I just have this weird feeling that James Conner can kill him, or they're going to double him, and guys like Michael Wilson, I'm not going to say Greg Dortch, but Michael Wilson, and I don't know, Elijah Higgins can't get, that's why I feel like you got to double Marvin Harrison. If Michael Wilson beats us, and James Conner, like, stack the box, put two on Marvin Harrison, see what happens. Like, Trey McBride not playing, I think, is a problem for Marvin Harrison, but that is just me speculating. I am not trying to talk you off him. He is in the nut spot with Nico Collins. So, love that. But probably won't have enough of it if that goes off, too. If Brian Robinson and Marvin Harrison go off, my day's dead. So, don't ask me how I'm doing Sunday night if those guys have a big day. Terry McLaurin, I'm okay with it. Like, it should be good against a cover three, but I don't know. I think Zach Ertz is my guy. I don't think you're going to get a ton of air yards against Arizona. They do have a decent pass rush, actually, too, which with that roster is surprising. Elijah Higgins, honorable mention, I guess, at 3,100, taking Trey McBride's spot. Probably no ownership there, and apparently no ownership on Zach Ertz, so I do like that a lot. New England, San Fran, we're going to pass that game. If you want to play Jordan Mason, he projects great. The books love him. I took that Isaac Garendo prop because I do think this game gets out of hand. I don't think Jordan Mason gets 30 carries. If they're up by 10, 14, 20 early, I think we see a lot more Garendo. Maybe a prop that is like mess with Garendo's rush yards if anybody pushes it. But no, Jordan Mason in a great spot. If they get up 10, 20, 14, whatever, Mason's probably a very big part of that. He's still only 6,700. For someone that touches the ball that much, he should be priced up at 7,300 with Kyren Williams. Simple as that. KC and the Chargers. We're not talking about the Chargers offense. I don't know who's playing quarterback for him. And then we'll get out of here. Patrick Mahomes, 3% ownership. Usually I would be like, yes, you just take that and you take it twice and you play a third lineup and you take it again. This opened up at 39.5. It's sitting there, or at some books 40. I think Circus got 40.5. Maybe they do think there's a little bit of offense, or they just love the Chargers. I love the Chargers. Or I'm sorry, love the Chiefs. I'm not playing Patrick Mahomes. I hope I don't regret it, because I've never passed on Patrick Mahomes at 3% ownership. I can't tell you the last time it was at 3% ownership, though, to be honest with you. But the Chargers with Jesse Minter playing a ton of zone. They play cover two and cover three, and they blitz a good bit. Travis Kelce kills zone. Really good against cover two. Really good against cover three. Rashee Rice should get a bump up against cover three. But if there's any day, Derwin James suspended, I don't know. I don't know if Travis Kelce has anything left in the tank, but he should get a lot of targets. I have him projected for 8 targets over 5 catches, so I am on his over, as we talked about earlier. It's now or never, I think, for me. The guy's doing so many fucking commercials, and like every other commercial I feel like on my TV is Travis Kelce, but it's in L.A., so, you know, the Hollywood, maybe he comes to play for all his big donors from Pfizer and whoever else is paying him to do all these commercials. So, Travis Kelce, have a day. Let's check his ownership real quick. 1%, like 5,800. Travis Kelce, 1%. I'm interested. Rashee Rice, 7,300. Great spot. Again, I just worry about the back and forth, but like Rashee Rice prices up where Travis Kelce's price has never been lower. So I think if anything, I'll go to Travis Kelce or completely fade this game, but 5,800. against a zone without Derwin James in a dome in LA with all the commercial people that Travis Kelce likes to hang out at. I feel like he's got to have a day eventually. 1% Travis Kelce. Fuck. Yeah, that's going to suck me in, I bet. Love the Chiefs defense here. 1% ownership. If Taylor Heinicke goes, we're going to see Roman and Harbaugh take the air out of the ball. So that's why I don't like love Rashee Rice, just because of the time of possession. I believe they are dead last in play clock remaining. The Chargers are, yeah, by a good margin too. So yeah, you know they're going to take the air out of the ball. They cannot afford to get in a shootout with Patrick Mahomes, but they don't have a running back. Carson Steele was like, okay, he's just going to run his heart out, kind of like Isaiah Pacheco did, but without the hands. Like, Pacheco was a good pass catcher. That's why I love the Mahomes 1.5 touchdown prop at plus 105. Like, I'm projected for 1.9 touchdowns. So, yeah, to get plus money on that where it's leaning towards 2, he's got to just throw the ball a bunch. It's just time in this game is probably just going to run away. The last game is gross, but I like gross. I feel like this total should be bet up, but I really worry about the Raiders. Opened up at 37 points on the total. Browns getting 1.5. They are now giving 2, 2.5, depending on where you're looking. No Davante Adams, no Max Crosby. We talked about all the injuries. There's more. Like, let's look at this. The Raiders D, whoever they do have, they play a lot of man too. A lot of cover one. Amari Cooper against these corners. These corners suck for the Raiders. Like, that's why I'm interested. Blew my mind. No one's going back to this spot after Andy Dalton and Deontay Johnson just carved them up. Deshaun Watson, 2% ownership, is my GPP quarterback this week. Last week it was Goff and Caleb Williams. I ended up playing Caleb Williams in cash too, so I moved my main lineup off of him to Jared Goff, but the secondary one had him, but I should have played him in the main. Would have made a lot more money because it's higher stakes, but it is what it is. There is no one on the Raiders defense that is suiting up on Sunday that can hang with Amari Cooper. If David Njoku comes back, I think I'd bump Amari down a little bit. I project Njoku in there, but kind of as like a little bit of a pitch count. But, dude, against cover one with that personnel that they have, and they're going to be blitzing, good luck with Amari Cooper. So if Deshaun Watson doesn't suck, this should be a good spot for him. Running backs, Jerome Ford, 5,700, good spot for him. Zamir White, Alexander Mattison, I'm good for now. Amari Cooper, 3% ownership, though. He's one of my favorite plays in tournaments, so I will stack him with Deshaun Watson again. See how much I could lose this week. You know, I loved him against Jacksonville. Great first drive, and then it just stalled out. On the other side, without Davante Adams, I wrote about it in July on Win Daily about my players to watch this year. Trey Tucker was on that fucking list. So kind of how I found Nico Collins and like really started to believe in him 4 years ago or whatever it was. Trey Tucker's been on my watch list. I know he had a big game last week, and that's another guy that I hate buying the recency bias on, but he is good. He gets separation. He can go deep. 3,600 as a bring back in this game. A value bring back like Amari Cooper's only 6,300. I think everybody plays Brock Bowers, so that's why I worry about that ownership on Tommy Tremble. I don't think that's actually true. Brock Bowers is, like, sportsbooks have him at damn near 6 catches, 60 yards. Like, everybody should play that at 5,600. I like Trey Tucker. Jacoby Myers, 5,500. I'm okay with it. But, again, it's Gardner Minshew. So, it's like, as much as I thought this game would have a higher total and higher back and forth, both these teams do have a very good pace of play on offense. They play quick, and they have a higher pass rate of expectation than the field. So, this is my GPP, like, mini-stack. It's going to be Deshaun Watson, Amari Cooper, and probably Trey Tucker. And then you could afford the world. Otherwise, play Brock Bowers if you're smart. Like, Trey Tucker is definitely, like, a landmine. But I really do believe in this kid. I think he's a great route runner. Iffy hands, but those are getting better. So I'm going to ride it. On the tight end side of things, not playing Njoku, even if he comes back. We'll see what happens there. And Brock Bowers, if he's actually 5% owned, which I'm seeing right now, then you just play him and you get Trey Tucker the fuck out of your lineup. But Travis Kelce for $200 more than Brock Bowers just seems interesting. But that is it. Thank you so much for tuning in. I guess if I had to give you like a cash core right now, my lineup, let me pull it up. I did say I'm playing Roschon Johnson in cash right now just because what it offers, like, allows me to do. I do not like that. I would not recommend that. I will not put it in like my core. But my core for cash would be Kyler Murray, Najee Harris, Nico Collins, and probably Zach Ertz. I'm very interested in Jordan Mason. I'm not sure if I'm going to lock him in. I really want to get Jamar Chase. I got to figure that out. But Nico, Zach Ertz, Kyler Murray, and Najee are not going anywhere. So those four are for sure in my lineup. I just got to figure out what I'm doing if Jordan Mason's ownership's actually that high. But check out WinDailySports.com, promo code STICKS for the playbook on Sunday morning, or just tune in on YouTube at WinDailySports page on YouTube. It will be a free live stream. All your seasonal and DFS questions will be answered there. But thank you guys so much for the support. Can't say it enough. All the feedback has been fantastic this far. And, you know, I just want to say thank you so much for that. Good luck to everybody this week. Hope to hear from many of you in my DMs or on Twitter that you hit like the guy last week for 1,000. So shout out to him. Didn't know if you wanted me to say your name or your handle on Twitter. So I'm going to keep that low profile. But go get him this week.